Grace to you and peace from God our Creator, Jesus our Savior, and the Holy Spirit who is at work among us. Amen. Hey, congratulations on the state championship. Yeah, that one over there, Claire Backstrom, won a soccer state championship last night. Yeah. We are in the fourth of 5 weeks talking about our core values, core practices, core commitments. We talk about them as commitments and practices because we continue to strive toward them, knowing we don't get them right, but that together we are working to live into those values, live into this identity that we share. But the truth of the matter is, we could talk about the widow and deep dive into this text, but I don't want to. Quite simply, she gave two small coins. Right off the bat, just a couple of things. A, she gave two. That means she could have kept one, but she didn't. And then Jesus said it very, very clearly. She gave everything, multiple times, all that she had to live on. It was sacrificial giving that she came there with, and clearly joyful giving as well. She was willing to give her all. When we talk about that in church language, we talk about that in terms of tithe. That's a biblical word, primarily from the Old Testament. And for most of us, that conjures up images of 10%. Is that about right when you think of tithe? Yep. That 10% is typically what we call the Levitical tithe. That's what was expected of all of the people of Israel to make the temple go, for worship to happen at their local synagogue and then there in Jerusalem. That's only one of three tithes, though. See, there's a second tithe that was expected to be given as part of harvest time and the celebration of feasts. When the fields were cleared, you brought your sacrifices and your gifts so that you might give thanks to God for the abundance of that time of year and the yield of the earth. And then there was an every 3 year tithe, the tithe for the poor. So as we think about these tithes, you end up with not 10%, not 20, but something like 23.33%. Now, if I was to use language to describe 23.33% of my income, I would probably start with this word, sacrificial. It is extravagant in expectation. But also what was true of those who celebrated those tithes and who brought them in the Old Testament is that it was so often joyful. People pointed to the ways that they were able to build up their community and grow together in faith. So, that's what I want to do this morning. I want to talk about where your dollars go, how we share in mission and ministry together, and then how we impact the larger church. At the core of who we are is, of course, this gathering space. It's not that it's the building that's important, but that it's a place for us to come together, to work on these shared values, to grow in relationship to one another. And so we have this building that we take care of and that we cherish. And our hope, our intent, is not just that it be a roof over our head, but that it really be a place of welcome and of warmth, where you can come in and know that you are cared for. And these are the folks that you say, hey, yes, we'd like you to lead us in caring for one another. A dozen of them, everything from Daris, your facilities manager, to Heather, your director of worship arts, Deacon Hannah and Marnie, in between. These are the folks who work together for mission and ministry on your behalf. And so when you put a dollar into the offering plate, a big chunk of it keeps a roof over our head and people here to lead you in mission and ministry. What do they do, though? Well, the first thing that we are committed to is lifelong faith formation. It starts actually when Alma Tansager takes a little invitation and welcome packet to every newborn baby and their family. About a month later, the befrienders deliver a first Bible and a Spirit of Joy onesie. It is the sweetest thing, that Spirit of Joy onesie. I wish that I could, you know, have one. Like Seth's, I've seen it. Is it sweet? Very sweet. Then that ministry continues with our little lambs. Everybody from birth to three gets together with Mary Tramberg and Kirsten Shemp once a month, and they learn the basic stories. They become comfortable in this space, and they know that they are cherished and loved. From there, Miss Michelle and an army of volunteers take over. Oops, before that, we have a preschool. Oh, I have to press the button one more time. Watch this.
Three.
How cute are these guys? That's the day that your van went into service. Those kiddos were out there with their balloons celebrating together. Our preschool is part of our mission and ministry. There are 26 kids who are raised in the faith. They come into a place where they're loved and nourished, where they're allowed to grow, encouraged in that. But every day, they are taught the basics of who we are. We gather every week for chapel, and they continue to become beloved people of God, aware that they are exactly that. Then it's Miss Michelle who takes them into Children of Joy with that army of volunteers. Spirit of Joy, you know that as long as we practice extravagant generosity, we also practice bold service. It takes something like 250 hours of volunteers every week to make our ministry grow and go. Every single week, on top of 12 staff people. It is absolutely massive what you are undertaking. These little ones get together for Sunday faith formation and for Wednesday school. They do family fun night, and they have all sorts of other adventures together throughout the year. Then Marnie brings them into middle school confirmation. They let me teach, but she gets to have all the fun. She takes them out to things like Thunder Road, where they ride go-karts and get to bond together. Also to places like Kids Against Hunger and St. Francis House and Ronald McDonald House, so that they can learn that a life of discipleship means also a life of service. All right, so they're beginning to lean into our values. Deacon Hannah works with those who are ninth grade and above. They are the kiddos who are our high school youth ministry, and this is about half of them that went this summer to Outlaw Ranch for adventure camp. Those kiddos go through high school youth group, the opportunity to travel. This year, Deacon Hannah has 10 so far signed up for the ELCA gathering. If you want to go to New Orleans next summer, it's not too late. We're going with Lutheran Outdoors of South Dakota. We'd love to have you come with us. At the end of that time as high schoolers, we bless those students to be sent off. This year, we are moving back to those beloved quilts that we give to all of our graduating seniors. There's a whole crew who are getting together to make that possible for our 27 graduates this year. If you're interested, you can talk to me, or you better off, you can talk to Pat, and she'll get you connected and helping to sew and make those quilts possible. From there, we continue to stay in touch with students throughout college as they go into military service, et cetera, sending care packages twice a year. And then beyond that, we want to support them if they continue in mission and ministry together. This year, you are providing 4 scholarships to seminary students and to young adults in global mission. Madeline Trosvig there on the upper left is in Hungary, serving with the ELCA. And right below her, Carl Norquist, one of our newer partners, is in Senegal. They together are learning to accompany our brothers and sisters in Christ. Leah Birdall, bottom left, is at Lutheran School of Theology in Chicago. And of course, our Deacon Hannah is studying at Luther Seminary to not be Deacon Hannah, yes, Deacon Hannah, but to be Pastor Hannah. But it doesn't stop there either, does it? Because see, Deacon Hannah and others are making possible all of the opportunities for you to continue to grow, for Bible studies and for small groups, for connection and for relationship one to another. These are Sunday forums where we've brought in experts, one on hospice care and end of life, another on refugee services and how it is that we walk alongside our neighbors in crisis who are newest to the U.S. We know that you want to grow, and we continue to try to make that possible. Faith formation, of course, is a lifelong commitment. Passionate worship is something that we want to lean into as well. We gather here in worship and in song. Wasn't the choir fun this morning? Oh man, was it fun to sing in that choir this morning. Here, that's that choir. Heather Wall directs that, and it is just a joyful place to be. But there are so many other ways to serve. Kristen read for us this morning. Others are passing out bulletins and serving communion. It takes, again, on a typical Sunday morning, 18 people just to make worship happen, just to do that one thing. We come together to make it possible. And then we want to practice that hospitality, and not just hospitality, but radical hospitality, by creating safe spaces where people can know that they are welcome apart from the pressures of the world. Comfortable spaces, yes, in the far corner, there are couches and chairs, a beautiful spot for our youth. But then think about outside. Outside in the summer, it takes roughly 100 hours of volunteer time a week just to maintain those gardens. Donna Verwey and Arlene Brandt Jensen make that possible. And here's where I want to say thank you to them for a couple of things. A, the beauty and the place to gather, right? B, it's an evangelism tool for us. When we talk to people about who we are as Spirit of Joy, what we can tell them is genuinely unique, A, is the community, and B, is this commitment to creating in God's, or to creating beauty in God's creation, in God's gardens. And people come and walk and wander. I can't tell you how fun it is to be sitting out working on a sermon in the afternoon and to have somebody walking their dog through the garden because they just know it's a place where they're welcome to be together. And then that hospitality, of course, is also for us, for fun things like bingo and preschool auctions, for an opportunity to gather for music and for mocha, to know that there are things that we can do in a community that is faith-based. That's the stuff that we do here. The surface, the tip of the iceberg, right? But, Spirit of Joy, you make a commitment. It's in your constitution to give a tithe. 10% of everything that you collect, every dollar that comes into light, goes to the South Dakota Synod of the ELCA. Every congregation has that same expectation. You are one of the very few who meets that expectation. And it makes an enormous difference. Yes, it means that they are taking care of staff and have people to do the work. We'll talk about that in a second. But it also means that our neighbors in solidarity are able to do the work that they need to do. Church on the street. How many of you have been to worship, packed a bag of candy, or spent some time with Pastor Chris or Pastor Rebel in the auspices of Church on the Street? Have you done that? It's a third of the room or so. The same was true at First Service, one of our core ministry partners. But one of Pine Ridge Reconciliation Center, Wyoton Lutheran Church out in Rapid City, they are doing excellent work making sure that our sisters and brothers in Christ are fed and are nurtured, are cared for in their own faith as they grow. The Synod not only does that, though, they take care of your pastors and your rostered leaders. Twice a year, there's an opportunity for us to gather for education. We do the work of the Synod at Assembly, usually here in Sioux Falls. And then we are connected across the world. On the left there is Pastor Aaron Mattson. Aaron is the Companion Synod Coordinator for the South Dakota Synod. He and the bishop and a delegation of others are currently in Israel. Let that sink in. Aaron and the bishop and the delegation of others are in Israel. They're there because they are fostering relationships for the Lutheran Church, just as they have in Nicaragua and Cameroon, our partner synods. They are on the front lines doing the good work of the church, making sure that we are not just South Dakota, but that we are a global church. Then there's the other work, the kind of work we typically see, things like congregations need pastors, right? And how do they do that? Well, it's Pastor Renee Splickle-Larson who makes that possible. More than 30 pastors this year have moved around, been welcomed into your synod, or become new pastors. There on the left is our beloved partner, Bob Chell, preaching at the ordination of Jordan Stone just a couple of weeks ago, where we had a new pastor join our synod. That's the local response. But what we give to them, every dollar, 43% of it goes to Chicago and supports an international church. We're members of the Lutheran World Federation, which means we're yoked to every large Lutheran body across the world. And we are proud owners of Lutheran Disaster Response and Lutheran World Relief. Guess who's on the ground in Israel, Gaza right now? It's the Lutherans. Because of you guys, they are able to be there working day and night along people who are literally living in terror. You have made that gift possible. That work continues as they organize at the national and international level. You do that. But Spirit of Joy, remember that tithe piece from the Old Testament we talked about? It wasn't just 10%, was it? It was sacrificial. Spirit of Joy, you give a double tithe. In addition to what you give to the South Dakota Synod, you give 10% more to all of our ministry partners. Places like Church on the Street. So that when we go there, we're able to go not just with a meal and with a community, but with a gift that allows them to continue to operate a food pantry, to have other staff who does social work and who walks alongside those in need. Just this last Thursday, we were part of Food to You, that's a member of Charis Ministries, or we are a member of Charis Ministries. And I think if you were to ask the people who were there, and there were a lot of them, what their experience was, I think they would say it was a very joyful experience. Is that fair for those of you who were there? I see a bunch of them in this room. Yeah. Unexpected in some ways that so many would come out and receive that food in the cold and the rain. But what a gift. By the way, if you're going to Costco, put the extra thing of toilet paper in your cart. Okay? November is toilet paper collection month because the first Sunday of December is necessities for neighbors. Large rolls they really like because families only get four of them. So if you think of it, we'll collect them through the month of December. Our kids do that same thing. We've talked about Kids Against Hunger and other places. It is a part of who we are to step out and to serve boldly. Pastor Jeff Backer is the pastor of St. Dismas Hope Prison Congregation Behind the Walls. We're headed there soon. In the world, if you can collect toilet paper, there are still just a packet or two if you're interested in worshiping with the men at the prison. Anybody 18 and over is welcome to go. Okay, men, women, etc. We do need that paperwork back tomorrow because it takes about 3 weeks to process at the state level. So if you've got it or think about it, right out there on the Welcome Center, you can jump in and grab that paperwork and join us. I'm making sure for those guys know that they are not forgotten, that they too are part of God's community. Then, just the last couple here. You guys know where Horace Mann Elementary School is? If you get off of 229 at 26th Street, and you go west toward the center of town, you drive right past Horace Mann. Horace Mann is not a neighborhood anchor school. Instead, it's a school for the kiddos who have the hardest time in their neighborhood anchor schools. And because it's not connected to a particular neighborhood, it doesn't have a parent-teacher organization. So guess who's its parent-teacher organization? The person to your right and to your left. We are the parent-teacher organization for Horace Mann Elementary School. We're led by Carol Chell and Lynn Ristey. They're the ones who are the contacts there. But little things like every other school in the district had a climbing wall in its gym. And this one didn't. Until, in the midst of your capital campaign, you gave them one. You made that possible. You give classroom grants to their teachers so they can get the supplies that they need. You make possible the spring field trip every single year for all of those students. You give a cup of coffee and a loaf of bread at Christmas to teachers who are in the hardest of environments. We have a group going to share to Guatemala with Deacon Hannah. And then Hope Haven. Do you guys know about Hope Haven International? This is a cool ministry. This is the charitable arm of a care facility in Iowa. Our men, so far just men, I'd love for it to not be that, are woodworking for them. They're making the internal parts for pediatric wheelchairs. So far, anybody want to take a guess at how many wheelchairs worth of parts we've made? It's not 100. It's not 1,000. As of yesterday morning, your Spirit of Joy woodworkers have made the parts for 2,400 wheelchairs. 2,400 because of your generosity and your commitment to their mission and ministry. Chairs that are going into Guatemala and Costa Rica, Romania, and elsewhere. And then this one. Deacon Hannah mentioned it with the kiddos. If she were to get some of that crazy money, you know what she'd do? She'd build that school in Liberia. This year, Spirit of Joy, you stepped up and gave $17,000 to make that dream possible. You've committed to giving Deacon Hannah time to go with her husband, Pastor Henrique, so that they can make the work on the ground happen. And you are making sure that kiddos have an opportunity to grow and to be educated in a community of faith. Spirit of Joy, this is who we are. Beloved people of God, committed to practicing extravagant generosity each and every day. It makes a difference. Thank you for who you are and the way that you live your values. Thank you for continuing to give so that others might thrive. Amen.